First of all, thank you all for being here this morning. The governor wanted to make it very clear that Terrace Hill tours will remain open, and that you can I don't know whether you can sign up online or not for the tours. I remember one of your former colleagues in this group, David Yepsen, when he would write his column, and it was about kind of a wonky budget thing, he'd always say, you better grab a second cup of coffee because this you may need it in order to stay awake. So that's kind of the where we're going here today. It's very tedious, and I apologize for that, but it's the kind of the nature of dealing with both a federal fiscal year and also a state fiscal year. I'm going to give you an update on the sequestration impact on state government, not the entire state, but just the state government portion of that. I also want to point out that this does not include the Board of Regents. The Board of Regents are gathering their information from all the from their various entities, and don't expect a huge impact on them, simply because a lot of the federal money that they get are more short-term, professors doing specific projects. So I don't think it's going to have a great impact. They're still gathering the information, and once we get that, we'll get that out to you. The other thing you should note is that this sequestration could be around a while, and you'll see how it impacts or may be impacted on other things that are about to come about. So if you turn to the second unnumbered page, I want to go through just some key items with you. Remember that the federal fiscal year is October 1st through September 30th. Now, the federal government is spending about $3.8 trillion a year in their budget, and 60% of that money goes to mandatory. Mandatory things are, once again, Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. Those are off the table at this point in time, except we think that at some point in time they will become back on, they will come on the table, simply because there's not enough in the discretionary that can make up the deficit that we have. So basically the discretionary is the 34%, and that's what we're talking about today. That's what we're talking about when we talk about sequestration. And about half of that is in the defense area in the military. So we're talking also that that the discretionary money is about $1.3 trillion that we're dealing with. All right, now keep in mind, federal fiscal year starts in October, goes to the end of September. The state fiscal year starts in July and goes through June. So when you're making comparisons of the cost and items that come out, it's difficult because you're usually crossing different fiscal years. And so that's sometimes why the numbers don't always add up. A reminder that the state receives in federal funds in total is $6.1 billion, and we have that laid out for you on page 3. And we've got the FY12 actual and the FY13, 14, and 15 based on the state fiscal year. So basically the main thing to remember there is $6.1 billion. Now, sequestration started in March 1st, 2013, and it goes to 2021. So this isn't a one-time event. So each year that the Congress has laid out a dollar amount that needs to be cut in order to get to the $1 trillion that will be kicked in over 10 years. So what we're going to be talking about today is the impact of the current fiscal year in this on the state side. And depending on what Congress does, that will continue to go on for a number of years. Now, what makes this a little more complicated is that the federal agencies have some flexibility. The Office of Management Budget also has some flexibility as to how they move money around. So what has delayed this or has taken the time is that the federal agencies had to know exactly how much money that they were going to have and what the impact was going to be on them. And then that's how they backed into what the percentage cut was going to be. So they don't say we're going to cut X amount of percent and then figure out what the money is. They figure out what the amount has to be cut, and then they back into it to find out what the percent is. And I wish I could tell you this isn't going to change, but it's probably changing as we speak. In short, the amount of cut that we believe that the state will be receiving is just less than, a little less than $46.5 million. It probably or potentially could impact 236 full-time equivalent positions, and I'll explain that a little bit later, but don't assume a full-time equivalent position is a person necessarily, okay? Because you'll see that it could be parts. An individual may get money from one program, another percent from another program, and so you can't just assume that those positions will be eliminated. The other thing that many agencies have done is that they have been preparing for this, and so that they have left positions vacant, knowing that, that the sequestration may in fact go into play. Not to get too wonky on you, but here's one other item that, that is key in this. The federal government, many times in their programs, have what we call a maintenance of effort. Okay, a maintenance of effort says that when you receive this money, that if the federal money goes away, you as a state must maintain that same level of service. Now, one of the big areas, which is obviously off the table right now, is Medicaid. Medicaid has a maintenance of service. Once you're starting to provide, even if the federal government lowers their match rate, you still have to maintain that, that service. Now, where this probably impacts the greatest is probably in the Department of Education. Now, when we were hit with a maintenance of effort, when Governor Branstad first came into office, that is one of the first things that we ask any department when they're talking about receiving federal money is, does it have a maintenance of effort attached to it? Most of the time, if the answer is yes, it does have a maintenance of effort, then we do not accept the federal money, knowing that what the impact is. All right. This so even as the federal government starts cutting back on this maintenance or on the sequestration, the maintenance of effort so far has not been waived by any of the federal agencies. We'll get into a little more detail, but another component to remember is that since the federal government has not passed a budget, they are working off of a continuous resolution. A continuing resolution just basically says, and sometimes they modify it, is kind of whatever you got last year, which was also a continuing resolution, which was before that was a continuing resolution, and before that was a continuing resolution, then you will just continue on. That expires the 27th of this month. Okay, so many think, well, okay, what they'll do is just do another continuing resolution. There are some in Washington, particularly in the House, that are saying, no, we aren't going to do a continuing resolution. So if a continuing resolution does in fact expire on March 27th, then we're going to have another conversation with you all as to what that impact is, because then all of a sudden we go from $46 million to just about all the federal funds that are coming would stop at that point in time. So let's say we get through March 27th with some kind of arrangement. Then what happens in about mid-April, the following month, then we hit the national debt ceiling. So we have sequestration, we have the continuing resolution expiring, and then we have the national debt ceiling. So those are all components that are going to complicate everybody's planning, because how those get resolved, it would be nice to think all three of them could be resolved together, but So far, we haven't seen any indication that that's going to happen. Just as a point of somewhat interest by people like myself, and there's probably about three of us that even care about this, but Congress last passed an omnibus spending bill in April of 2009. Now, an omnibus spending bill basically is not a budget. What it is it just says this is how much money you can spend for the various programs. The last, what we would call true enacted budget, was back in 1997. And you can see what the results are. Because of not doing the budget like we do in Iowa, then you have kind of a potential mess. Okay, if we could go to page 4. The direction that the governor gave all of the departments was to make sure that they do everything within their power to minimize the impact on the recipient of the service. So whatever the program is, that the recipient try to minimize what that impact was going to be. And that's what agencies are in the process of doing right now. I want to explain this chart to you, though. First of all, you'll see the summary of the departments. The reason these departments are listed, these are the only ones that are impacted. A little over half of our departments were impacted. That's not to mean they don't receive federal funds, but the federal funds that are impacted by the sequestration is what we have here. Now, I put on the category there the previous year so that you would get some kind of idea as to how they compare from year to year. Also, we have the current year, and then the estimated reduction, which we feel these numbers are accurate as they can be as of, I want to say, 7 o'clock last night. And then what the amount is after the reduction. Then we have the category, which is full-time equivalent positions. Again, that does not mean those are going to be eliminated by any stretch of the imagination. That's why you can end up with a 0.19 of a person. All right. There are 205 programs affected by the reductions. The list that you will see in the following pages are only the programs that were impacted. I don't want you to think those are the only federal programs that we're participating in. If there was no impact on the program, we did not include it. We've given you a detail by detail of the amount of each program that the departments have, and just to give you some idea as to not money wise, but just how many programs each department has. 37% of the impacted programs are in the Department of Health. 10% are in the Department of Agriculture, and 9% are in the Department of Education, which is right over a little over 56%. Dollar-wise, education and public health are the most dollar-wise, and I have that in the back of the handout. Now, I want to highlight about three or four departments that I think might be helpful to you. First of all, if you would turn to page 7, where we have the Department of Education, you will see the numbers there, especially on the FTEs. And I would like you to go down to Title I. Title I is the reading program. Now, where it says 102, that could be a part of a position in one school district. It could be a half of a position in another school district. It could be a couple of positions in various school districts. And I would refer you to the Department of Education if you need to have more detail than that. You'll also notice that there's a question mark under Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. That is our commonly referred to as special education. There is a similar to a maintenance of maintenance of effort in that area, and so that those school districts will be able to continue to do those programs. The other department that I would like to draw your attention to is page 9. This is the Department of Defense. All right, this is a little more complicated. First of all, under the public defense, National Guard, for all practical purposes, they have three funding sources. They have state funds, then they have two types of federal funds. They have what is called the Master Cooperative Agreement. The Master Cooperative Agreement affects probably about 260 positions. And what that is these are state employees, but they are doing federal work for the military. So they are funded out of this master agreement. As of today, as of this morning, they do not know yet whether or not those master agreements are going to be affected. You'll notice below the total I have federal, and they are not included in our count because those are strictly federal employees that are assigned out at Camp Dodge. There's approximately 1,900 of those individuals, and the federal government has elected, I believe, to furlough up to 22 hours for about 565 individuals. Now, it's pretty consistent with what I've seen from information from some of the other states, so I assume that all states are being treated the same way. But I want to emphasize those are not in our total because these are federal employees. And the reason I, yeah, Bill.
These are just, they will be furloughed a certain up to 22 hours for 565
That is the estimate at this time. I think it's up to 22 days, not 22 hours, Bill. And they will not be done consecutively. But that is all under the federal rules and in the federal agreements that they have. Now, the danger, of course, and this is, I think, is one of the things that the federal government is going to have to struggle with on this, is furloughs work as long as it's a short-term problem. If in fact it goes on for the 10 years what it's scheduled to go on for, that the furloughs will just constantly be coming year after year after year. But I don't need to tell you folks how that works. Okay, then there's, let's see, I also want to draw your attention to page 12. Page 12, we have two areas, vocational rehabilitation and also workforce development. Both have a sizable number of full-time equivalent positions. Once again, we do not know what the complete impact will be on those. Both the director of workforce development and also vocational rehabilitation, they are working out their options. Because as the governor pointed out, when he says he wants it to be the least disruptive to the recipients of the programs, that we're looking at what kind of flexibility, one, that our federal partners will give us, but the other is how can we move people around in order to cover the shortfall areas that may need to take place. So that will be a pretty much of a ongoing process. I noticed and had some discussion with the our partners in the federal government, and they think theirs may take a few months before they actually start implementing some of their cutbacks. So we're trying to do it as quickly as we possibly can, and in the least with the least disruption. Draw your attention to page 13. 13 gives you the reduction by rank order as to where the largest reductions came from, so you can get somewhat of an idea as to from top to bottom. And once again, this does not include the Board of Regents. And then the final page that I'm going to ask you to endure is to give you an idea as to where the federal funds, who receives the most federal funds, which is the column on the left, and then the column on the right, the first group, is what total reduction is. So you'll see that Human Services receives 52% of that $6.1 billion that I talked about, but their reduction will only be 6% because Medicaid, at least at this point in time, is not part of the sequestration. And then the next box is just a rank order as well from the amount of federal funds received. You know, like education, you'll see that they receive 9% of the federal funds, but will be receiving 32% of the reduction. Now, I caution you on when I throw all of the departments on there, because some of them receive capital money as well, and the ones that are really being hit are having the biggest reduction. So all in all, compared to the amount of funds we receive, we believe that at least through this fiscal year, we'll be able to handle things without a whole lot of problems. That's easy for me to say when you're in the departments actually implementing this. But I do commend all of our department heads and our departments who have worked, I think, very, very well on taking the approach that the governor told them to do, is we're going to try to solve a problem, not create more problems as we go through this. So, questions? Yeah, it's a combination, Kay. But for the larger ones, yeah, it's money that goes directly to goes through the Department of Ed, but goes to the school districts.
Dave, just to recharacterize this, if for the average Iowan, are typical Iowans who pay taxes, are they going to see any kind of difference in the state of Iowa services that they're receiving?
Bill, I would hope not. I would say that that's certainly our goal is to make certain that they do not. We all realize that there is a discussion going on in Washington, and it seems right now to be more discussion about is it going to be a big impact, not going to be a big impact. We would hope that the conversation would turn to what's in the best long-term interest of the United States, and that is the only way this is going to get resolved. We think that people are going to be somewhat confused when you talk 1 month, you talk about sequestration, and then 2 weeks later you're going to be talking about continuing resolution expiring, and then few weeks later, we're going to be talking about national debt ceiling, and this is not a good way to run anything, let alone a United States government.
For the cuts that are happening, will people who get LIHEAP assistance or access to the programs through
It's more of a question in some of these cases, Catherine. It's a question of whether the increases that would have been done, whether those will be able to go into effect, and maybe some of the services will be curtailed somewhat, but certainly not cut off. And the other thing is that we're also looking at this as an opportunity to see, can we deliver our services better in a much more economical way? Yeah. At this time, the governor is not recommending any additional state appropriations.
Are you able to plan at all for years out? I mean, I know this has changed
yeah.
so much.
Yeah. Sure. We are. But it is, You wouldn't believe, maybe you would, how many times this changed just in the last 48 hours. And we are starting to it appears to me that the sequestration issue will either be resolved or not be resolved within the next couple of weeks. And if in fact it remains intact after we go through the continuing resolution expiration, I would say that it will be in place until it changes. I don't mean that to be cute, but we have indicated to our departments that they should be assuming this is going to take place. This isn't going to be a short term. This isn't going to be just get by with it for a couple weeks. This isn't just a paper exercise here, that you need to be planning that in fact this is going to continue on. There are a lot of hypotheticals, but it's also a opportunity. It's an opportunity to reevaluate everything that is being done, and it's also a reminder that when you have so much of your operations or government depending on what will be controlled from Washington, it's a real wake-up call. And it's something we've been doing for a couple years, is that telling our departments that, okay, we understand there's federal money out there, but the fact of the matter is, when you bring the federal money back and then you want to start putting people in those positions, it's probably not a good thing. And if you don't have a maintenance of effort, we've also told them to be very, very careful, and with every employee that they bring on, that they let that employee know exactly what the situation is, and that it be told to them right up front that, hey, this is a project that's going to last 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever we have the money for. But when that is done, there will not necessarily be a guarantee that you will have a position. Yeah, Doug Holscher of the state of Iowa's office in Washington is in close contact with them. Their office works several times a day. As you can imagine, every association under the sun, the group that we have for budget officers, they have conference calls. National Governors Association has conference calls. The Democrat Governors Association has conference calls. The Republican Governors Association have conference calls. And it's usually real informative. It usually comes out and says, well, we're not sure what's going to happen. So, but to your point, Richard, we are in fact communicating where we have, where problems develop. And, so far we haven't seen those yet, but as we start implementing these, they will. The departments that are are going to sustain a reduction in federal funds, in my opinion, are the departments which are a high percentage of their money comes from the federal government, and that is Department of Health is obviously one of those, and workforce development. That actually we started seeing that about a year ago, that their federal funding was being reduced.
Do state employees process unemployment claims and unemployment checks, or are those federal employees, or a combination?
Okay.
Will now state employees be taking over some of those duties?
Well, again, this will be a reduction in the amount. So to say it's not going to be any federal, because we are still receiving some federal money. There's an issue that I don't think has been fully resolved, is the impact on the extended unemployment benefits, that those are part of the sequestration. And I know that there's some discussion in Washington as to how that is. It seems like as the days go on, that there are just more and more issues that need to be resolved. And I think we should remind ourselves as to why we are in the sequestration was because all the sides thought it would be so bad that nobody would let it happen. Okay. Now we are in it. We only have 9 more years to go, and we'll see how it shakes out.
You listed 230 states.
Yeah, fair question, and the answer is not at this time, Catherine. We are trying to work through that because we have a lot of parts of positions, and that's the difficulty, especially if you look at the Department of Health. You'll notice that they have them listed down by parts. So one person may, you know, be a percent here, maybe another percent there, and we don't have that worked out yet. We also are reviewing what all of our options are within departments, because we run into we need to follow our collective bargaining agreement or contract, and so there it's laid out is to, you know, if you move certain people certain places, then that allows another person to make a movement, and so we're trying to sort out all the various scenarios with our departments. Well, again, the furloughs only work in Iowa. We have what we call temporary layoff provision. Those only work if you think this is going to be over at some given time and date. The governor has generally not been favorable to that, because that's really kind of postponing some tough decisions that you're going to have to make. If something were to pass in Washington and say, hey, this is only going to last for 2 months or 3 months or whatever, then we're talking about another scenario. Our assumption right now is that these cuts will be made permanent, and that we need to plan accordingly. The worst case scenario would be for me to be here 9 years.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, Richard, in all candor, would be for them to come together and do a budget, not just a short-term omnibus spending and we'll worry about it next year, but actually do a real budget with projections as to what the impact is going to be. That is the only way you can really do a sustainable budget. You need to be looking out 5 years, as the governor does here, and then you back up to see whether or not you have it. The worst case scenario to me is to continue doing business as usual and just postponing everything a month at a time, or 2 months at a time, or 3 months at a time. It will be impossible to really do any kind of substantive planning.
So we're in the worst case scenario.
Right now we are in the worst case scenario.
Dave, the total budget, state and federal budget, total amount of money that the state is spending is what, $12 billion?
That's correct.
So this is what percentage of the total?
Of the 46 million of 12 billion, my folks don't even let me use a calculator, so I can't. We can get that for you. I just don't know what it is off the top of my head. Four and 13. Let me check on that. They should. I know why. Because 2 million was added this morning, and it didn't get added to that chart. I see that. The page that is right is page 4. Yeah. No, Catherine, I don't want to say they won't notice. I don't think they'll feel, hopefully they will not feel the impact on that. At this point in time, no. That could change, especially in like the vocational rehabilitation area. We believe they can put together a plan to continue to do that. There may be a little more of a delay in a department like that as far as providing the service, but parks, no. It depends on the school, okay? Yes, obviously they would. They will be covered one way or another.
And there's a
0.4%.
0.4%.
Yep.
0.4%.
Right.
You said programs and services for students with disabilities will not be
impacted? Don't know. I'd say that they will still be provided the services. It may take them a little longer to get those services, but those are being serviced now. Will continue to
be there. Since the governor prefers layoffs over furloughs, any idea when that decision would have to be made, when to lay off, would be in April?
Yeah, it will. First of all, I want to make sure I clarify the governor does not, it doesn't want to do furloughs or layoffs. But if given that choice, it will vary, Rod, by department as to when something would have to occur in order for them to receive the amount of money. And here's the other problem is that when we talk about assuming that this is permanent, then you will go down one track. And if we start going down that track and something gets reversed in Washington, obviously we would change gears as well.
Great,
so
thanks.